Okay, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Your Money and Your Mindset. I'm your host, Lo Wai Tan, and each time I have a show on, I have a very special guest. All my guests are special, but this one is super special. Now, you see, this show is about health, wealth, and happiness. It's not just about the money, okay? It's no point having a lot of money if you have no health, and you're in a bad way and you cannot enjoy your wealth. So every aspect is important: your frame of mind, your state of health, your physical health, and also whether you have good friends and good family members around you, meaning your relationships. So all that is dependent on how you feel about yourself, okay? So you got to agree that sometimes anxiety all the time can kill a career or a business or a relationship. In fact, it hinders every aspect of a person's life. So would you be interested to know how you can not only manage that anxiety, but also improve your career chances, your business contacts, your business chances, the health, and just basically the quality of your life? So stick around, because in the next hour, I've got my expert in today, who is Beverly Flaxington. Now, she is an award-winning author, a certified professional behavioral analyst. She's a hypnotherapist and, more importantly, a career and business advisor and coach. And she's going to be talking about the strategies you can use to tame that anxiety. And she's put out a book on that precise topic, and it's called Self-Talk for a Calmer You. Learn how to use positive self-talk to control anxiety and live a happier, more relaxed life. I mean, everybody wants that, hey. So, and what Beverly says is that anxiety can take control of your mind and your body if you let it. And you have the power to turn a negative situation into a positive one with yourself. I'll be interested to see or hear more about it. So welcome, Beverly. How are you?
I am great, Lorana. I'm very excited to be here today.
Yes, SMI, because the title of the book is intriguing. It's this time of, I guess, of people's lives where there are so many things happening, external stimuli. I mean, everyone's on checking their cell phones or you know, or playing with their iPads, and it's like a continuous 24/7. I'm sure we weren't designed to be hooked up to our little iPads and our iPhones continuously. And it's showing, isn't it, symptomatically, that we're having people talk about anxiety or just too much to handle. And you've actually tapped into that. And you've got, like I said in the intro, you've got strategies to help people with it. But let's take a step back before we do that. Tell us about yourself.
Well, let's see. To give the short version, I did spend a lot of my corporate life in very senior level positions in corporate America, and was very successful. But I was always looking for what's that other side to make me more successful that's going to allow me to have a different influence than you get just by wearing a suit and high heels every day. So I became a hypnotherapist at the same time. Now, you can imagine that I was in the financial services business, and my colleagues had no idea what was this crazy thing that I was doing. So I would go up to these conferences where people were working with crystals and music, and then I'd go back to my corporate job. And so my goal was to try to figure out a way to bring those two together. How could I take my business acumen, because I was very successful, good negotiator, really good at management, how could I take that along with what I'd learned as a hypnotherapist and be able to help people be successful overall? So I've been in my own business now for quite some time, and I do coaching and training. I do, of course, I write books, but my goal really is to help people get to that next level of excellence. So it's been really fun over the last few years to be able to bring all those different pieces together and see that, in fact, no matter where we are, we're always just that one person. It's just in different environments. So a lot of people connect because they're all dealing with the same things deep down.
Yeah, and basically everybody wants to be loved and accepted for who they are rather than what they do. And what happens with us is that we live such compartmentalized lives that, you know, like you say, with your colleagues in the financial services, they probably be going, what is she doing hanging around with the crystal guys, right? And yet you see very much it's not two separate career paths, but they can be integrated. That's very left and right brain, you know, coming together, which is fantastic, because I think that is the secret to anybody's success, is to be able to embrace without judging what this other stuff is that they consider to be so out there. So let's get back to this book, because I think you've really hit the nail on the head, considering I won't be able to tell the stats off the top of my head, but really the number of people who are on anti-anxiety medication, which I think is a bit over the top, overprescribed, honestly, and you're saying you don't need that sort of medication. There are other ways to manage it, and in some ways, just dissipate it. Just tell us about that, please.
Yes, and you know, one of the most startling things, Lawai, that I've encountered in having written the book is how many people have written to me that I know in a, as you were saying, a successful role, and they've done really well, and they look really confident, and they've written to me to say, thank you for writing this, because deep down I have so much anxiety and I don't feel comfortable talking about it to anybody. So I feel like you really tapped into something that mattered to me. That part has been startling to me, because the numbers say it's only about 20 to 30% of the population that really experiences a lot of anxiety to the point where they're going to a doctor because of course we can only measure what's being diagnosed. I think, in my experience in writing this, is that it's much more pervasive. Not everybody is going to a medical professional and getting medication for it, but I think that people are really living with, and you touched on some of the reasons perhaps why, but people are really living with, you know, that sense of unrest, that worry about what's going to happen next, that preventing me from really enjoying my life in full. In fact, I was talking to a very successful person today who said, and she's about to go to the next level, and she said, you know, I feel like a fraud. I'm going to get found out. It's such a perfect example of what we do to ourselves.
Wow, that's pretty profound when you say that, because so there are all these people running around, like you say, for all intents and purposes, looking very successful, you know, but inside they've got this self-doubt, which kind of leads me to the next question. You touch on the phrase self-talk. Just elaborate on that, please.
Yes, because if you think about it, it's really not culturally acceptable, no matter what country you're in, to say that you talk to yourself. Right? As soon as you start saying, I'm hearing voices, you know, people start to worry, what is going on? And yet, there's this subtle exchange that goes on in our minds. It's like a reporter who tells us what we're seeing, what it means. And so we're talking to ourselves all the time, but we don't think of it that way. We think we're thinking about something, or we recognize something, or, you know, anybody would have a thought about that, whatever it may be. Let's say someone cuts me off in traffic. My negative self-talk will kick in. Rude people are everywhere. That, what does that guy think he's doing? You know, I can't. He couldn't have waited for me to pass by, right? Now, what happens, Lawai, is instead of seeing this as negative self-talk, somebody will say, well, of course that was my response. That guy was rude. So this is one of the insidious things about this, is that we don't recognize how much of what we're doing to ourselves is negative self-talk. We just think it's a normal process we're going through. But it's really pretty destructive when we're not aware of it and we don't realize how it's dragging us down.
Wow. So it's like some sort of little software virus program running in the background that almost colors everything we see, do with our lives and our interactions with others, yes?
I love your descriptor, because I think in this day and age everyone can relate to that virus, right? Because you know, everything seems fine and I'm going into my programs, but there's just something that's not working right, and then I find out behind the scenes. And that's a little bit of what this is. It's not that it's unnatural to do this, it's quite natural. What's difficult is that when we're not aware of it, and it will actually dictate to us a little bit, this is the direction I'm going to go in. So now all of a sudden I find myself and I'm pulling up at that stop sign, if I go back to my guy cut you off example, and now I'm getting out of my car and I'm yelling at this guy, and that's where, how did I get here? And then I realize he's a pretty big guy. This wasn't very smart, but you know, I'm propelled forward, and that's what can happen to us. So anyone who's ever gotten that situation where you look and you think, how did I get here? It probably was your negative self-talk that was, you know, just kind of pushing you down that path.
Wow, it's like we get our buttons pushed, kind of, isn't it, over certain things, depending on what you're sensitive about, yes?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's important to see a situation like this person I was talking to today. It wasn't a client. We were just having a general catch-up conversation, but highly successful and doing very well. So it's not that you have to have all these negative things happening and that you're not capable, the most successful people. But there was her negative self-talk creeping in and saying, you know, I don't know about this, and can I really go to this next step, and am I really prepared for this? So I think what's important to understand is that it's not that something's wrong with you if you're doing this. We're all doing it. What's wrong is we're not aware of it, and so it's tripping us up in ways like that virus in the computer that we don't know until, you know, the system starts to crash.
Yeah, so when the big guy gets out of the car and you realize you're only 5'2", yes.
Exactly. And then your self-talk is egging you on anyway, right? It's saying, you can do this. But it, you know, and of course this is an extreme example. Most of us would catch ourselves before we get to that point. But I think it just illustrates how that cycle unfolds.
Right. And you have put your finger on it by saying, it is actually related, the self-talk is related to our sense of who we are, but also if it's not positive self-talk, which is the what you're telling people to flip it over to, it can create anxiety and it can influence our ability to not only function, but in the case of running a business, it can sabotage any progress further up to get to the next level of profit levels, et cetera, yeah?
Yes, because think about, and you know, especially relative to money, right? We get a lot of messages throughout our lives. We're deserving, we're not deserving, we didn't have enough, our parents tell us we're spendthrifts, whatever it may be, right? So you think about these messages that accumulate, and to some degree, you know, there's a wonderful country music song. It's sung, I believe it's a guy named Chris Young, and it's called Voices. And he talks about how lucky he is to have these voices, and he'll say what his mother said to him, and his father, and his grandfather. But I love it in the vein of self-talk, because that is where a lot of this comes from. So, you know, we've been told, oh, we will never succeed, or we're never going to make it. And so then we go out into the world and we're doing pretty well, but just like this illustration from earlier today that I shared, then we get to a certain point and that self-talk starts to come in. And so you're not even sure sometimes who's really talking to you, but it is that message that I'm getting that says, you know, something's wrong here, you know, the other shoe is going to drop. Or when people question whether this goes on or why, I say, you know, think about, you ever have a situation and it's a really nice day, there's nothing overtly wrong, right? I mean, you're healthy, you haven't got a bad phone call, the bills are pretty much paid, you know, you're doing okay. But all of a sudden you feel just overwhelmingly blue. There's just something, it's like there's something that weighs on you. Now we can say there's different hormonal things and seasonal things, but I would say that in almost every case, a part of what's happening is that self-talk, negative self-talk is at work. We're so unaware of it that all of a sudden we feel this way, we don't know how we got there.
Wow. Yeah, it blindsides us. So you will then say to your clients and whoever comes to you, let's say specifically they say, you know, I don't know, I just feel anxious. My business is going so well, I'm waiting for it to crash. I mean, people do come and say things like that personally without revealing too many things. So what do you say to them then? You know, do you say snap out of it, or do you say, okay, let's talk about it?
Well, and unfortunately, the snap out of it thing, I mean, these are smart people, right? I mean, we're talking in some cases about highly successful people. They've managed to get themselves to a place where they're very successful. And so this is the thing about this. If it was as easy as, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, or, you know, well-meaning people will say, oh, don't beat up on yourself like that, right? They'll say, you know, you're going to do great. Look how well you've done. And for some temporary period, that's going to make us feel better. What's more effective is to actually try to explore with them, what are these things that they say to themselves and about themselves? What are the messages? See, what we tend to do is we want to be helpful. So let's say this person comes to me and says, you know, things are going great, but I just feel like I'm, you know, I'm on the verge of a crash. And I say, no, look at how well you've done, right? What's really better is to say, huh, what kinds of things are you saying to yourself? Where does that come from? And they start to say, well, there's this, there's that. And it's hard for us to reveal these things, right? Because I'm supposed to look so successful. So the best thing you can do is actually help that person explore what is that negative self-talk that they're using, so they can learn how to replace what they've been saying with something that's more positive. Now, not overtly say like glass half full, optimistic, everything's going to be great, even if you can just get back to somewhat of neutral. Right? Instead of saying the crash is coming, just say, I'm a smart person. I make good business decisions. I've managed to get myself to this place, and I'll figure out the next place to get to when I need to. So it's not like you have to fake yourself out and say all this rah-rah. It's just catching what those statements are that you're making that are negative, and then choosing to replace them with something that just, you know, I talk about it, Lorwai, as giving us more power. You know, our energy is getting sucked out by this negative self-talk. Only in catching it and changing it can we grab some of our power back.
Okay, that also means to me that you have to have time out to be able to do that. If you're on the go, 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 go. Let's say, you know, I'm just going to be addressing women at the moment. Okay, career, home, mother as well, kids, etc. And then we have to be all things to all men and women, and we have to be very, you know, efficient at work and look the part. And then at home we have to be super mum. When does she have that time to go, everybody, just be quiet, I need some time out?
It's a wonderful question, and I do like to say, you know, I shared a little bit about my background, but a lot of times, you know, you'll read these books about people, and they're very calm, and they find space for meditation, and they're usually, you know, single people with no kids who have part-time jobs. So I like to say, you know, I run a full-time consulting business where we have more work than we can deal with. I teach also. I'm a college professor. I teach three classes. I write books. Books, and I talk to folks like you, and I have three children, and they're all reasonably young, and I have at any point in time between 12 and 17 animals at my house because I do a lot of rescue work. So the reason that I share that is to say this is the type of work that can be done and is best done in the midst of all of the chaos that's going on. So what we have to learn is we're taking the mental break. It's not necessarily a break in the action. So I can't say to my kids, oh, I just found myself in negative self-talk. Mommy wants to have a timeout. You know, I'm going to go in the bathroom. I'll be out in a half hour after I... It's got to be something that we're actually learning how to do in the moment. And this is how we get that power back. So let's say it's been a very hectic day, and all of a sudden one of my children calls and says, Mom, you know, instead of picking me up at 7, you know, we got out at 5. I'm going to need a ride home. In the moment, I could, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be a working mother. What's wrong with me? I should be available for my kids. I can't go at 5 o'clock. So all that negative self-talk could start to kick in there. What has to happen, Lorwai, is in the midst of that, I have to be able to catch it. I can feel my anxieties going up, right? My heart maybe starts racing. We've all got different ways that we respond. You know, maybe I'm starting to sweat a little bit, or, you know, I feel constricted. I mean, it's, you know, my neck feels tight. It's different things for all of us. So it's recognizing that in the moment and then choosing to stop right then and there, mentally stop. Take that break and then be able to change what I'm doing and give myself a more positive, some more neutral self-talk. So it's actually right in the middle of the chaos that you can learn to do this, and that's what's so powerful about it.
Wow, so in the middle of that hubris with all that swirling around you, so you've got phones to answer at work, you've got your kid going, I need, you know, a ride, and you've got a boss saying, have you finished this? You actually saying to me you can take that millisecond out, literally, and recenter yourself.
And that's really what we have to learn how to do. So this does take practice. So what I say to people is, you know, what's nice is to practice. Let's say that I'm in my car, and I am somebody who gets irritated by those rude drivers out there. You know, what I want to be doing with this is I want to be practicing when I'm not, you know, in that real pressure cooker kind of scenario. So there's a simple technique that I teach people, and this actually comes from, it's derived from a hypnosis technique that we teach. So if you picture, so here I am, I've got this call, I wasn't planning on leaving, I committed to the boss, I would stay and do the project. Things are just going crazy. So now I'm on myself, and why don't I have better help? And why am I the only one that my child can call? I mean, right, we could write a book here of all of the things that could. So there's something called the stop technique. Very simple technique. Now we have to all start to learn what are my triggers, you know, what sets me off, and how does it manifest for me? So, you know, what's that physical reaction that I get, or what are those words that I say? The stop technique says, so if I'm somewhere where I'm by myself, I can literally say out loud, stop. Now, if I'm sitting there and I'm in a meeting, you know, it was a text from my child, and I've got 8 people sitting around, my boss is at the end of the table, it's a mental stop sign that I would put up, stop. And what that does is it actually does send a message to the brain to just interrupt the thought train that we have going on. And it is, think of it as like a train, right, running down the hill, picking up steam all the time. So stop says stop. You interrupt the train. That's the first step. Then what you want to do is either have your positive self-talk ready. So I tell some people if you can write them on a 3x5 card or put them into, there's so many good apps, your to-do list on your phone so nobody even knows what it is. It looks like a to-do list. For some people, they just need to get back to a safe place. So I'll say, you know, have a song that you really like or a poem or a mantra. So if you do, for example, meditate and you have a mantra, have that mantra ready. So just have something, Lorwai, that once you stop, you can then turn to, that's going to get you a little bit more centered. Get you. My favorite, I like This Too Shall Pass. In fact, I have a huge plaque that hangs in my kitchen that someone I worked with gave me, because I would say it to some of these people who work for me all the time. I would tell them, try to get this in focus, This Too Shall Pass. Because they'd have so much anxiety about things. Very quick story that this woman actually had her car stolen. And she was very uptight, of course, went to the police station. She had to get to a meeting. She, you know, no one knew where this car was. Her anxiety level was out of control. She goes to this police station, and she says to the police officers trying to calm her down, she says, well, you know, I just keep trying to tell myself this too shall pass. The police officer starts crying, bursts into tears right there in the station. And my colleague is saying, are you all right? What's the matter? She says, well, my grandmother just passed away. And this was her favorite saying. This is what she taught us all the time to, you know, calm us down. And she said, here, take the keys to my Mercedes. This is a true story. Brand new Mercedes she had bought. Take the keys and go do everything that you need to do to get yourself, you know, adjusted for and we'll find the car. And so I just loved, you know, the power. She called me up from driving this woman's car and she said, okay, I don't know what that mantra is all about, but it's very powerful because my anxiety was out of control. I said those four words and here's this police officer who's giving me the keys to her car. You know, it's just a way, and so because that woman connected to it, because she had heard it throughout her life, so it's just getting something that's my safe place, and it's going to be different for everybody. I'm just sharing my favorite, but that's the key. So you're in the middle, you interrupt the thoughts, you stop, and you turn to something that brings you back to a more peaceful place.
So you're describing virtually a circuit breaker, isn't it? Because the self-talk tends to be on high rotation in the background and only makes itself known when we are under stress and under pressure. And then we hop on that horrible little merry-go-round where there's like we can't get off until you say, this too shall pass, or stop. You know, we have to get off this terrible treadmill. So you can teach people that, or can people just basically, first of all, they've got to get your book, right, because there's more information in there. So can we just talk about your book as to how somebody can get hold of it, please?
Sure. Well, I was just so honored to have the chance to write this book. It was the publisher, actually, who called me. They'd read a lot of what I write and called me and said, we want to write a book. We think there's a real need out there for self-talk,
wow,
you know, to calm anxiety. And I really did feel like I'd been given this gift because this is a passion of mine. So now the book is actually available. I actually had someone just send me the link. It's on eBay. It's at Walmart.com. It's at Amazon.com, BN.com. It's in all the major bookstores. I actually just, somebody else sent me a link for a group in Australia, a book company in Australia. So I know that it is now, it's traveled the world and it is available everywhere. But I really wanted to write it, Lorewise, so that it breaks into different elements of our life, work-related, job hunting. I feel, our economy has been so difficult for so many years, and you see people who, you know, are really talented people out looking, so I wanted to address that, relationships. So it's broken into a little bit of what do you really need to focus on, and then there's some general sections, but you can actually pick what's the focus for me, and then just read that section and work with that.
Okay, so this show is your money and your mindset. So let's focus on the financial aspect because, yeah, you haven't got a job, you're going to have trouble paying your bills, and that's going to spiral down because you're not going to feel good about yourself, or you're going to be worried that, okay, the rent is due, I'm going to be on the street. So just something practical that the viewers can take away now and apply, and then that works, they go get your book and they go come to see you, in fact.
And you are so right, though. Money, I think, is the one area. It is such a highly sensitized, talk about the train, you know, with the third rail, right? I mean, this is something that for so many people, they have such a negative relationship with money. They don't think they're deserving of it. They're worried about it. So, yeah, so let's say I have lost my job, and I have a lot of people right now that I'm dealing with this, and I'm really scared. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't have a resume. I wasn't planning this. So one of the things you have to do is make sure, so now my negative self-talk starts to kick in. I only have so much money in the bank. The rent is going to be due next month. How am I ever going to get another job? The economy's in the toilet. People like me don't get hired. I'm too old to get another job. I mean, let's go on and on and on. It's critical to catch yourself with this. There are people in this economy getting jobs every day. There are always opportunities somewhere, somehow. So what's really important is to be able to get back to that centered place and say, you know what? I was smart enough to get that job. I was smart enough to learn whatever I learned. I can learn what I need to do next. I can put one foot in front of the other. I can go to networking groups. I can talk to people. I can etc., etc., etc. So what's just very important is to turn away from all of what's going to bury you and defeat you, and turn it around that there are opportunities, and your job is, I am going to find those opportunities, and putting one step in front of the other. So it's not pretending everything is fine. Lerwai, none of this is about fantasizing that our lives are different. It's really taking the same facts and data, and instead of piling it all on with all the reasons why we're going to fail and it's not going to work, instead piling it on with all of how we're resourceful and we can figure things out. And, you know, ultimately, it's writing a story. So instead of writing the story that ends with your disaster, you know, write the story that ends with you coming out okay.
Yeah, that's a fantastic thing. So would you also advise those people who are in that, you know, that really between a rock and a hard place, it's not, but right for them, it feels like it. Would you say to them to stop reading the newspapers and stop watching CNN or something?
I have to be honest. I do. I think that to expose yourself, you know, it's almost like you get in that negative state. So then what you do is you look for validation, right? Let me read all the articles about how they don't hire someone in my age group, or I'm blue collar, or I don't have this experience, or I don't have this college degree, whatever it is. And especially now with the internet, you can go out there and you can find pretty much any data that you want to find. So why seek out that data that's self-defeating? You know, there's that saying about the bumblebee, you know, that ergonomically the bumblebee's wings, it actually can't lift it up and fly, right? But no one's told the bumblebee, so they're all flying around. Now, is that true or not true? I don't know, but I use the story a lot because I say to people, there's a lot of bumblebees out there, and they're not exposing themselves to all the reason why they can't. They're conserving their energy to figure out how they can. And it sounds silly, but it's true. So I do think turn away from the things that are going to drag you down. Surround yourself with positive people. Find people who are making things happen. Read those things that are positive and orient your mind. You know, we're very much goal seeking. Our brains are goal seeking. We're wired that way. So you do want to orient yourself towards, you know, what's going to be positive for you, more helpful for you.